Tomorrow, the leaders of both North and South Korea will meet face-to-face in the northern capital of Pyongyang. This is only the second summit between Korea's two halves since the peninsula was divided in 1945. The first meeting happened 7 years ago, and back then, many South Koreans thought it might bring an end to this Cold War rivalry. But as Jason Strother reports, this time around, the reactions below the 38th parallel are not nearly as hopeful. He has a story from Seoul.
Ok Chau-soon hasn't seen her husband in over 30 years. The 76-year-old South Korean says she knows what happened to him.
In 1972,
my husband was out fishing, and that's when he was abducted and taken to North Korea.
Ok is a member of the Abducted Families Union. She recently demonstrated with them, calling for the resignation of the South Korean Unification Minister, the official whose job is to improve relations with North Korea. The group says since the Korean War ended in 1953, around 600 South Korean citizens have been kidnapped by Northern agents. The group blames the administration of President Noh Moo-hyun for not holding Pyongyang accountable and wants him to persuade Kim Jong-il during the inter-Korean summit to let their loved ones return home. But for Ok, it's too late. She learned through the Red Cross that her husband died 3 years ago in North Korea. Ever since the second North-South summit was announced on television, reactions in South Korea have been mixed. Groups like the Abducted Families Union doubt President Noh will be at all critical of the Kim Jong-il regime. Many Koreans call the meeting a political stunt, aimed at improving the popularity of pro-engagement politicians in an election year. Dr. Wang Ji-hwan is a professor at Seoul National University's Institute for Unification Studies. He says the hype that surrounded the first summit 7 years ago isn't happening now.
You know, it's always the first thing is better than the second thing. So when the first summit meeting between two Koreas was realized in 2000, all the Korean people were happy about that.
Wang says that President Noh would have to show tangible results on issues like the abducted citizens or the nuclear standoff to convince South Koreans that engagement with Pyongyang is working. But Noh has already said he will not make an issue of North Korea's nuclear weapons. Instead, he says he will work toward establishing peace on the Korean Peninsula, with the ultimate goal being a peace treaty to replace the uneasy ceasefire now in place. But some South Korean advocates for engagement with North Korea say the fact that there is a second summit taking place is proof enough that progress toward North-South reconciliation is already being made. Soh Bo-hyuk is a research fellow with the Korea National Strategy Institute and a member of the Civil Network for a Peaceful Korea. He says his group sees reunification as a three-stage process. The first involves agreeing to further cooperation and reconciliation.
This second summit can contribute institutionalization of first stage of unification process and thus can enter the second stage toward confederation.
He says that under such a confederation, both Koreas would coexist together despite economic or political differences, which would then lead to the final stage, complete reunification. If that goal is ever achieved, it would be long after President Noh leaves office. South Korea's presidential elections take place in December. Under the Constitution, Noh is unable to seek a second term in office. For NPR News, I'm Jason Strother in Seoul, South Korea.